Support for this podcast and the following message come from Lagunitas Brewing Company, challenging the status quo and crafting stories along the way. Featuring a wide range of innovative craft brews and non-alcoholic options, it's good to have friends. Learn more at Lagunitas.com.
I identify as a Latina. Sorry, that's always really a hard question for me. What are you defining race as? Do we have to have a conversation about what race is?
Yes, I'm Latinx. That's easy because I know my parents are both from Costa Rica, but for race, I don't know.
I self-identify as a Latino and of the Black race.
Looking at me, I can't put white, I can't put Black. I put other sometimes.
I like to fill out other, and I like to just write in Latino.
I don't know where my African is. I'll never know because that information was taken from me.
So this year, I guess I realized that I'm indigenous.
Mexican, American, Indian, indigenous.
I look white. That's how I came out. However, I was raised in a Dominican household.
It just doesn't make sense.
I'm Shireen Marisol Meraji.
I'm Gene Demby, and this is Code Switch.
From NPR.
All right, so Latinos are the second largest demographic in the U.S. That's like a thing we say all the time on this show.
It is.
It's a very weird data point because, you know, when we say that, Shireen, what are we talking about? Like, are Latinos the second largest racial demographic in the United States?
Yeah, how does that work? How does that work if there are a bunch of different races that make up the Latino category? Not to mention the fact that Latinos rep around 24 countries of origin.
Right. But let's go back to the before times. In 2017, you interviewed Christina Mora, who is a sociologist at UC Berkeley, and you talked to her about the creation of, you know, this Hispanic or Latino or Latinx.
Latine, actually.
Sorry. Oh, my bad. Latine category and how it came to be.
I did. And she wrote a book all about it. It's called Making Hispanics, How Activists, Bureaucrats, and Media Constructed a New American.
I would tell people I'm writing this story about the development of the Latino category, and they would say, well, duh, they've always seen themselves as such.
Actually, no, we haven't. We've only been thinking about ourselves here in the United States as Hispanics or Latinos for maybe 50 years, not even. And if you want to know more about that recent history, you should check out that Christina Mora episode. It's fascinating. But the entire time we've been saying Hispanic or Latino, it has been incredibly fraught. Case in point, November 2020, the after times, when more Hispanics than expected voted for he who shall not be named.
This may be the last election cycle where we talk about the Latino vote.
A Cuban is not the same as a Puerto Rican, is not the same as a Guatemalan.
Is there such a thing as a Latino vote?
It might be useful to get rid of the term altogether.
Once again, mainstream English language media realized Latinos are not the M word.
Don't say the word.
M as in Mary.
M, Marisol Meraji.
I refuse to say the M word. But regardless, think pieces proliferated about whether Latino is a category with any meaning at all. Because how on earth could so much of this group vote for a president who fueled his campaign and administration on racial animus? Here's historian Gerardo Cadava. He headlined our Latinx Vote Comes of Age episode.
I teach a class on Latino history at Northwestern, and we start with the question, who or what is a Latino anyway? And we never resolve that question. I mean, it kind of weaves its way through our story about the past 500 years, but we don't resolve it. And I don't think the point is to resolve it. I think the point is to keep having the question. And so in some ways, Latino group identity, all it is an ongoing conversation about what it means to be Latino.
So we are about to start our ongoing conversation about what it means to be Latino.
Yes.
We are going to talk to all kinds of interesting and smart people about the topic, including y'all, the listeners, because, you know, y'all have opinions that y'all let us know.
You do have opinions.
Very freely.
Yeah.
We're kicking this all off, though, with a dude you might have seen late night on Showtime if you watch Desus and Mero.
I just want to I want to place the disclaimer that I have not done any type of collegiate studies of, like, racial identity or anything like that, so I'm shooting from the hip.
or maybe you've heard his voice on the Bodega Boys podcast. It's been around for a minute, y'all. He co-hosts both of those with his partner in crime, Desus Nice. Oh, and a warning, there is definitely going to be some cussing, some salty language.
So much sass on
this episode. And this time it's not just you, Shireen, that's working through. All right, y'all, let's do this.
Unleash all your names.
It's the kid Mero. Depending on which one of my tios you ask, it's Ramiro, because that's what my father wanted to name me. And my mom was like, you thought I gestated and birthed this child? His name is Joel.
Joel.
Armogasto Martinez.
Wonderful.
Which is my father's, my father goes by Tito, but his government name is Armogasto, which is extremely Dominican.
I'm Puerto Rican, yeah. And I have a cousin named Tito, yeah. But his name is Hector.
Dominicans, I feel like Dominicans name their kids, they just spin a wheel. Like, yo, like, let's just spin a wheel. Or, yo, you know what? Who was like the 18th president of the United States? Let's name our kid that. Like, they'll name their kid. Like, yo.
I thought you were asking me that, and I got really nervous.
Yeah, no. Shout out to all my Dominicans, because, like, Dominicans will name their kids stuff like Winston and Franklin.
Also, pronunciation is always Franklin. Interesting. Oye, Franklin.
Franklin. Franklin. Franklin está allá. Ya son está por ahí. Jonathan. Which spelled with a Y, by the way.
My name is Shireen, and they can't say it in Puerto Rico, so they call me Cheating.
Cheating.
Cheeringa.
Cheating.
I wish my mom had named me Marisol. It would have made things a lot easier since I don't know my Iranian my Iranian family.
She's like, yo, why couldn't you just name me Yesenia and call it a day?
My brother is Mark Anthony. But yet. So anyway, you are here to talk about Latinidad, whatever Latinidad. That means to you. Before we get to that, how do you self-identify racially, ethnically?
Man, I am a black Latino cishet male from the Bronx, or whatever order y'all want to put it in. You know what I'm saying? But like, I never thought I was anything other than, you know, like a black Latino. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
You know what made me realize it very early on was going to, my mom pulled me out of public school, put me in a Catholic school that was a lot of Irish, there was a lot of Irish kids in.
Yeah.
And they used to be like, yo, you're black. And I used to, you know, that's very confusing to like a 7-year-old, like being like, yes, but then it's like, I'm also Dominican. I speak Spanish. English is my second language. I didn't even speak English until, you know, I started going to school. Like kindergarten and all that stuff. Like I spoke Spanish exclusively at home. Like I didn't speak any English at home. So, you know, that's it. It was it's like a weird balance of like, you know, your blackness and your Latinidad also. Because like a lot of Latinos, like it hinges on language too. Like that was like the big. I don't know. Listen, I don't want to age you.
Okay.
Or I'm gonna age myself. But I know I'm from when like Puerto Ricans and Dominicans didn't really like super get along.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It wasn't like kumbaya. Now it's like kumbaya. Like shout out to Bad Bunny and Alpha and everybody like crossing genres and everybody's like shaking hands and like hugging. But before it was just like power struggle, New York City. Like who is the biggest Latino group in New York City? Is it Puerto Ricans or Dominicans? We'll find out at 11. You know what I'm saying? So that era of like, and what Dominicans used to say to Puerto Ricans is like, ah, yeah, I don't even speak Spanish.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
You know what
right.
I mean? Like, ah, you're not no Latino. You don't even speak Spanish. You know what I mean? So it's just like, you know, like you grow and you're like, knowing the colonizer's language is not all that that matters. Like that doesn't make or break your, you know, identity as a Latino, you know, Latine.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about that. So is it Latino? Latinx, Latine, Hispanic.
I'm too washed. Like, I don't know. I'm too washed, and there's too many terms out there. Like, I use Latino, Latina, like with, you know, cishet people. Like, if you're like, I'm Shireen, my pronouns are she and her, then I'm like, okay, Shireen is a Latina. You know what I'm saying? But like, if it's, you know, somebody who's like non-binary or identifies differently, it's like I'll just use Latina because Latinx sounds like porno to me. I didn't even go. I'm not gonna lie. When I first heard Latinx, I was like, "Oh, Vanessa Del Rio's back. Let's go." You know what I'm saying? Like, but it's just weird. And then like, I actually had a conversation with this on like in a digital short for the show Deezer Zemmour on Showtime, number one show late night. You know, and it was just like, how do you pronounce that? Because I've seen it written,
yeah,
but I've never heard it said. Right, like I think I heard one person and they said Latinx, and I was just
Latinx.
So
yeah.
But then I heard somebody else say Latine, and I was just like, that makes more sense because it flows better. It sounds right in Spanish. Because like, what are you gonna? And if you say it in Spanish, it's like Latin,
Latinx,
like, Latinx, like, you know what I mean? Like, that sounds like a dembow group. Los Latinx en vivo en Super Canal Los Latinx. Like, that sounds like a merengue group.
But I feel like Latine may bridge the gap.
Because you can say it in Spanish. You know what I'm saying? I think that's
because
all that
you
matters.
You can say it in Spanish.
Like that's why I have four children.
Yes.
And my eldest son, his name is Adrian. But, like, you know, when my mom comes, she's like, Adrian, ven acá. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's just like, I was very careful. I have one son named Avery, who I feel terrible for because it's just like, Avery. Hey, Ivory Soap, like, you know what I'm saying? I'm just like, just call him number two.
Yeah. Well, your wife is Heather. Is your wife Latina?
No, she's a German Jewish woman from New Jersey. Like, you know what I mean? You cannot get, and it's wild too because like this is gonna sound weird, but like I don't know if it's just like the community and the population, the demographics of my neighborhoods. I've only ever dated Black women and Latinas and Black. Latinas.
Mm-hmm.
She had black hair, and she was working in the same school that I worked, where there was literally not a single white student.
Yeah.
And, you know, when we started talking, she was just like, yeah, I've been living here for like 20 years and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, so you've been living in the Bronx for 20 years. You work in the school. And I just made assumptions. You know what I'm saying? Because you never want to ask somebody like, what are you?
Oh, definitely not.
It's like a weird kind of like jarring, rude question to ask. So I was just like, you know what I mean? Like, I just made assumptions. I found out when she was just like, hey, my mom's having Passover. I was like, what's that? Because we're both like very like kind of like not religious. You know what I mean? So like that never really came up. But yeah, no. So like... you know, I got the first one. She got the second one. I got the third one. She got the fourth one. And like
as
that.
As far as
you know
naming.
I mean? Yeah.
Exactly. My dad got me. He's Iranian. So I got Shireen. Uh-huh. And my mom got my brother. So uh-huh. I understand this very well.
There you go.
So how are you talking to your kids about their identity?
Yeah, no, I tell them all the time. Yeah, like to me, it's just like there's Dominican flags all over the house. Like I'm like Captain Dominican Republic. Like I was gonna say Captain Dominica, but like to play off Captain America, but Dominica actually exists. So shout out to Dominica, you know what I'm saying? And all of those Dominicans.
That's
you know
right.
What I'm saying? But you know, like they just know. Like the music is always playing, like I'm always talking. I talk to them, like they're not fluent in Spanish, but they understand it.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of my fault, because like Heather, shout out to Heather, my wife. She was really all about it. She was just like, yo, they need to really understand, like, you know, their roots, their background, their heritage, and all that stuff. And, you know, part of that is the language. And also being bilingual is an asset.
It is.
You know what I'm saying? So, but it killed me because, like, she would, you know, my sister is married to a Dominican man. So my nephew Romero, shout out to Romero, Romerito, hey, que lo que? You know, he's just immersed in it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when, you know, I'm sure, you know, like to learn a language, you kind of have to be like immersed in it.
You have to.
It's easier to learn that way. Yeah. And so we were trying to do that, but like, I couldn't speak to her in Spanish. Cause like, first of all, I'm Dominican. So, cuando nosotros hablamos español, tú sabes que hay una ráfaga que tiramos. Hey, yo, hey, hey, que lo que? We're making it worse.
She's not understanding a word.
At all. So then like, she's talking, she's like, Adrian, ¿quieres un poquito de agua? And like, I would just explode laughing, and she would just get mad red in the face and be embarrassed or whatever. And like, I basically embarrassed her into like never speaking Spanish again, which was very bad.
Terrible.
But it's just like, yo, I'm a New York City public school kid. Yo, I'm like roast McDaniel over here. Like, this is what I do. Like, I just roast people. Like, I'm sorry yep. you're my wife and I love you, but I got to roast you because you sound like, you know, a tourist on an all-inclusive resort. ¿Cómo se dice goose? ¿Ganso? ¿Tienes ganso grease? ¿Vodka?
Yeah, well, your kids are going to be receptive bilinguals. So, meaning they're going to understand Spanish, but they just won't have the vocabulary to speak back, quote unquote, fluently. I learned that later in life.
Well, you know, my oldest is 9.
Yeah.
So I feel like if I ship them off to DR now for like 2 years or 3 years straight,
yeah,
one of two things could happen. They're going to either learn Spanish perfectly, or they're going to learn Spanish perfectly and start a little like reggaeton dembow group, which I can then promote
yes.
and become rich.
That's a beautiful
and rest
idea.
On my laurels.
I love it.
Because that's part of Latinidad right there.
That's you know what I'm Latinidad.
Like, yo, your parents being like, yo, I took care of you. Now you take care of me.
Yes. And I love how you just like circled back to the topic of Latinidad. One thing that people have been saying to us, and this is something that you may have seen because it's been all over Twitter, is that we should cancel Latinidad because Latinidad erases indigeneity, it erases blackness. It really is all about talking about the mestizo, talking about the Latine person who looks like Selena Gomez or looks like J-Lo, you know, and that's all there is when you talk about Latinidad. What do you think of that?
Yeah, no, I mean, in my opinion, like, it's you know, or in my experience, rather, you know what I mean? Like, it depends on where I am, you know what I mean? Like, if I'm on the East Coast, I'm Latino. If I'm on the West Coast, it's like, what are you?
Yeah.
You look like Will Smith with diabetes, you know what I'm saying? Like, are you, you know what I'm saying? And you know, and like, island Spanish, Mexican Spanish, like, you know,
very different.
It's not a monolith. You feel me? Like, and I feel like people expect it to be that mm-hmm. way. I wish I could, like, you know, give like a super eloquent response, but at the end of the day, it's just like we all fall under this kind of like main umbrella, but we're all different.
But what is the umbrella? Like, what is it that unites us?
Man, that's also like a wild, you know, because to me, like I said, like growing up, New York City, the Latin, like, you know, the community was, you know, Colombians, Dominicans, Puerto Ricans, Hondurans, like a handful, you know what I mean? And some Mexicans, you know, here and there. But we all kind of were just like New Yorkers, you know what I mean? So it was just like, what is the dominant, like, nationality at this time?
Yeah.
Like, is it cool to be Puerto Rican? Is reggaeton popping right now? Okay, so now we're all going to talk like this. Like, is, you know, like, now Dominicans are cool, like, dembow's popping, okay, now we're all going to do this, you know what I mean? So, man, I don't even know, like, maybe it's the language, like, but again, like, I wouldn't let that define me, you know what I mean? So, I feel like it's just so nebulous, you know what I mean? Like, Latinidad is such, like, a nebulous term.
It is.
That it's just, like, it is what you make it, you know what I mean? Like, because somebody asked me about this, like, about masculinity, and I was just like, masculinity is what you make it, like, you know, like, to me, masculinity is who I am, like, you know, I'm not afraid to cry in public, like, some people be like, that's not masculine, like, I'm like, mm-hmm. well, I consider myself a man, so, you know, who are you to tell me that I can't cry in Target because I thought about my uncle that passed away or something, you know what I mean, like, so in terms of like Latinidad, I'm just like, you know, it's like a case by case basis. Because like you said, like you're Iranian and Puerto Rican.
Yeah.
Tú eres Latina.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So, and my kids are German, Dominican, you know, Catholic Jews, pero son Latino. You know what I'm saying? So, I was going to say, it's anything but, like, the, what's her name, Jessica Krug or whatever. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, right, yeah, yeah.
Like, if you're not doing, like, a Rachel Dolezal, like, type of thing. Like, yo, yo soy body. And, like, no, you're not. Like, you're Italian. Like, you're just tanned. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't cosplay.
After the break, the Dominican kid from the Bronx grows up and moves his family across the Hudson to the Garden State.
Okay, we're going to move to Jersey because we don't have that much money and we want to have a house that can accommodate 4 children and all the shit that 4 children brings.
Mero talks about how where you live can change who you think you are.
I made the move, but I was just like, I can't be too far or else I start to lose my powers.
Stay with us.
There are a lot of issues on voters' minds right now. Six big ones could help decide the election. Guns, reproductive rights, immigration, the economy, healthcare, and the wars overseas. On the Consider This podcast from NPR, we will unpack the debates on these issues and what's at stake. You can listen to NPR's Consider This wherever you get your podcasts.
In this country, more than two local newspapers are closing down each week. As news deserts grow, public radio is a lifeline for staying informed. Keep that service strong with a donation to the NPR network at donate.npr.org. And thank you.
Over the past couple decades, the U.S. has lost about a third of its newspapers, taking thousands of local journalists off their beat. A functioning democracy and functioning local journalism go hand in hand. We're trying to do our part, and that's why we need you to do your part. Make sure that the NPR network stays strong by supporting us at donate.npr.org. And thank you.
Today, it seems like everybody's got a bone to pick with the news. So what happens when somebody stops talking smack and just decides to wage all-out war?
First thing you do in an invasion, you eliminate the communications of the enemy.
And what happens if they win? Visit Stockton, California, for a story about a revolt against the mainstream media that's shaken up a city. From NPR's Invisibilia.
Gene.
Shireen.
Code Switch. And more of your conversation, Shireen, with the kid Mero.
I'm assuming you live in the suburbs in New Jersey. Where do you live? Like Montclair? You don't have to tell people.
I'm cool. I'm in Fairlawn. I'm right next to Patterson.
So many Dominicans in Patterson.
Yeah, you already know. Yeah, no. And I go over there. Shout out to La Morena restaurant, you know what I'm saying? The most fire, you know what I'm saying? A rabo you can get. I needed that. You know what I'm saying? Because like I needed to be like en mi agua, como decimos los dominicanos. And I couldn't go from the Bronx to like Montclair. I couldn't do it. Like, I was just like, yo, okay, we're going to move to Jersey because we don't have that much money and we want to have a house that can accommodate four children and all the shit that four children brings.
Yeah.
My dream was to provide a green space for my kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because my grandmother or my great aunt, who I call my grandmother, rest in peace, Nina, I love you. She busted her ass to be able to get a house, you know, and when we moved out of an apartment, like all, you know, it was like a revolving door. There was like 40 of us in one house, but that house had a yard.
Yeah.
So, you know, all my friends, you know, were playing in the parks and stuff like that. I was like, yo, we could play in my yard, yo. And it was just like world. You know what I mean? Like shattering, like, yo, this is wild. Like, yo, we don't gotta, this is private. Like nobody's, like the police ain't gonna roll up on us and tell us to get out. And yo, this is wild. So I wanted to provide that for my kids. And like, you know, buying a house in New York is like, unless you're like a multimillionaire, is like close to impossible. You know what I'm saying? So I made the move, but I was just like, I can't be too far or else I start to lose my powers. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. So. That's what I was wondering. How do you keep your kids connected if you... But you're saying that, no, you didn't move them to a place where they...
So they know.
Yeah,
and they,
so they know.
And they're... And, you know, shout out to my mom, shout out to my wife also, because she's like, she fully, like... It's funny, because she assimilated, like, to Dominican culture. Because, like, my mom took her under the wing. I was just like, I know, mija, no, así no es. You know what I'm saying? Like when, you know, she would make rice and beans and like, you know, be like, yo, I'm going to make some pollo guisado or whatever.
Yeah.
And she would literally ask my mom, be like, you know, what's the recipe for this? And my mom would be like, you wrote a recipe on paper. Is that what you people do? Is that what the white people do?
Yeah.
This is news to me. And she was like, no, bang, 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 bang. And it was just like, you know, trial by fire. Like, just, you know, watch me do what I do.
Yeah.
And you're going to be able to eyeball everything. And now I have.
She's got it.
She's got it. You know what I mean? She's eyeballing everything. That. She's like, I don't got to break out the teaspoon for the adobo and the oregano and all that. You know, everything that's going into the food is eyeballed.
Mm-hmm.
She's just pinching and shh. No probaching. No, le falta cebolla. Échale un chin de cebolla. Un recadito. Tráeme un recadito. Ping.
Okay, I'm going to throw something else out there. So we got a letter from somebody who was like, I've really been thinking about this. You know, the Dominican Republic and Haiti, they share an island. So why can't Haitians also be Latino? We have much more in common with other Latinos in the Caribbean, for example, than we do with, say, African-Americans. So why can't I claim being Latino even though I'm Haitian? I don't know. It was just like a really interesting thing that made us all go, hmm.
You know, personally, I think that language barrier is like the line of demarcation, I feel like, for most people. Like, it's an easy way out to kind of like, like, you know, sidestep a topic that is worth discussing. You know what I mean? I'm from the Cibao region. You know what I mean? Like, bordering on Haiti. Who knows, like, what my family ancestry is. My great-grandfather could very well be a Haitian man that crossed the border. And it's, like you said, like, it's an island. We share a same landmass. There's no way you can tell me that there's not hasn't been crossover of, like, you know, DNA and bodily fluids across the border. You feel me? Like, that's a super interesting take. You know what I mean?
I thought so, too.
About letting you know that.
And then it made me feel like, okay, then why don't we just keep it incredibly specific? It's just easier for me to say I'm Puerto Rican and Iranian. I will say Latina if I'm, like, checking a box on something or if there's, like, a broader conversation. But I feel like it's much better to be specific.
Yeah, it's just it gets complicated when you start to, like, you know, an identity is such a deep dive. You know what I mean? Like, especially for somebody like, you know, somebody like you, who's, like, from two very different cultures. You know what I mean? Like,
it is.
Who do I lean more into? You know what I mean? Like, and am I allowed to claim this culture based on how I look, if I don't speak the language or whatever? You know what I mean? Because my kids, they are Black Latinos, but they look like, half of them look exactly like their mom. So, like, you know, can you go in a room and say I'm Black when you look like, you know, when you have blonde hair? It's tricky. We live in strange times, Shireen. Mm-hmm. We're in this weird kind of space where it's just like, what are you? You know what I'm saying? Like, you must have a definitive answer at once. If somebody was to ask my dad or, like, one of my uncles, like, are you Black in English? They'd be like, no, I am Dominican. And you could see, like, the process going on in their head, like, no, I'm not African American. That's what Black means, right? Guys? Yes? You don't know either? Fuck. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And that's, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I saw so many of my uncles just be totally filling out the census, just like mad confused. Like, I'm not white, but I'm not African American. So what do I do here? You know what I'm saying? Like, that's a very real sentiment. You know what I mean? And I'm not downplaying the racism and the colorism at all, because that shit is real and it really exists. But a lot of times you just get people that are just from the campo, bro. And they don't know no better.
There are academics out there who are trying to make the argument that it's also a race. Latinos are racialized, so that is also a race. It's an ethnicity, but it's also a race. What do you think of that?
That's high-level academia shit right there. Like, I'm going to keep it funky. That is not a conversation that would come up if I'm just enjoying a Newport 100 in front of the bodega with my friends. You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, I don't know.
Can it be both? Can it be an ethnicity and a race? Like, these are things that I keep thinking about, because we talk about race. And every time we get into Latino issues, Latine issues, you have to be more specific. There is anti-Blackness. Yeah. Like, who are we talking about here? People have light skin privilege. And then all of these things are true. And then also what's true is there are people who are not fitting into the specific Asian, white, Black, or Native American, Indigenous categories. And those people are also discriminated against. So, like,
it's wild,
what, you know? It's just the
It's very confusing.
I don't know what to say. Hispanic, yes. Latino, Latina, Latinx. Or we're arguing about that for the first 5 minutes before we can even get into the rest of the conversation. I'm yelling right now.
And that's the thing. It's just like it's. Can we make a poll? Like, yo, if you consider yourself to be a part of the Latino, Latina, Latine community, chime in the comments and let us know if we should cancel it or not. And we will stop this at 150 comments and then we'll decide. And that will be the rule of law going forward.
That's the Kid Mero, a.k.a. Joel Armogasto Martinez. He has a new book out with his co-host, Jesus Nice. It's called God-Level Knowledge Darts, Life Lessons from the Bronx. I'm hoping his next book is going to be Garden State-Level Knowledge Darts, Raising Dominican, German, Jewish, Catholic, American Kids in Fairlawn, New Jersey. I'm really looking forward to that read, Gene.
That strikes me as real specific, Shereen. I don't know how big the audience for that is.
You can find the universal in the specific, Gene.
True.
You know this. We've done it here on Code Switch. Anyway, it's been a while since we've done something that our audience loves. It's called Songs Giving Us Life.
It has been a minute.
I know. Don't you miss it?
Very much so.
I miss it too. So I use this opportunity to ask Mero, what are you listening to? And mostly because I really need to update my playlists. It's like 1998 up in there.
A lot of what people like to call música urbana. Haraka Kiko, Seki Vicini, El Cheriscon, como dije, Toquisha, Yomel, Leo RD, Yailin La Más Viral. I think I said Seki Vicini. Bulin 47. I love Bulin 47. Bulin 47 is one of my favorite because he's an entertainer. That's kind of like a Dominican trait. Like, todo es un relajo. Para los dominicanos, todo es un relajo.
Esta noche sabemos dónde vayas a parar.
So I've started listening to Bulin 47, and he's giving me life and making me want to dance again. But unfortunately, that's our show.
I wish we could hear some more, though. Hating ass lawyers. This episode was produced by you, Shereen, and Kumar Devarajan, with help from Summer Tamad. It was edited by Leah Donella.
And a big shout out to the rest of the CS crew, Steve Drummond, Karen Grigsby Bates, Alyssa Jean Perry, Natalie Escobar, Jess Kung, and L.A. Johnson. Our artwork this week is by Crystal Keyless. And I almost forgot, I have to say a big, big thank you to our listeners who you heard at the very top of the episode.
Jasmine Rabeau.
Claudia Vasquez.
Ryan Medrano.
Damaris Raimondi.
Brandon Mogrovejo.
Dora Prieto.
Caitlin Daugherty.
Tori Ashley Matos.
Edgar Quintero.
And there will be more from you, our listeners, throughout the series.
I'm Gene Demby.
And I'm Shereen Marisol Meraji.
Be easy, y'all.
Peace.
A special thanks to our funder, the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, for helping to support this podcast.
Good question.
That's a really good question.
It's a great question.
This is free therapy.
Thank you for asking me that.
God, that's such a good question.
That's an interesting question.
But what Fresh Air interviews are really about are the interesting answers. Listen and subscribe to Fresh Air from WHYY and NPR.
I'm Miles Parks. I cover voting and election security for NPR. Across the NPR network, we report rigorously on the forces seeking to disrupt democracy and provide communities with reliable information. It's Public Media Giving Days, the perfect time to stand with the facts by donating now at donate.npr.org. Thank you.
You care about what's happening in the world. Let State of the World from NPR keep you informed. Each day, we transport you to a different point on the globe and introduce you to the people living world events. We don't just tell you world news, we take you there. And you can make this journey while you're doing the dishes or driving your car. State of the World podcast from NPR. Vital international stories every day. You care about what's happening in the world. Let State of the World from NPR keep you informed. Each day, we transport you to a different point on the globe and introduce you to the people living world events. We don't just tell you world news, we take you there. And you can make this journey while you're doing the dishes or driving your car. State of the World podcast from NPR. Vital international stories every day.